Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. You can follow along in your sermon notes or in your Bibles. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Andrea. Every time the body of Christ gathers together, it is a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing every time the body of Christ gathers in Christ's name. Whether it be a weekly gathering like this, as we worship our Lord on Sunday morning, whether it be what took place yesterday as we celebrated a wedding together as the body of Christ, whether it be in your small groups as you gather weekly to study God's word, to fellowship, it is a beautiful thing. I want to thank the Lord for each and every one of you for being the body of Christ here at Fraser Lands. People say that every 30 days, if vision is not reinstated or retold, people lose sight of the vision, whether it be a church, a company, a ministry, whatever it be. Vision describes where we're going. To be a church of all nations transformed through faith and love in Christ. Mission describes how we get there, how we become the church. We're to befriend, believe, belong, become, and be sent. As we looked at last week, not necessary in that order. Values, on the other hand, describes what we believe in. That is, what are the things that are important to us as a church? What are the non-negotiables? What are the hills that we will die on? Values are the guardrails on a road. They keep us on track. They keep us to staying the course. They guide us to achieve the vision and the mission of our church. And so today, I would like to continue on with where we left off regarding the values of Fraser Lands Church. Before Christmas, we had looked at five values of our church: the glory of the triune God, stewardship, Christ-centered living, reaching lost people locally and globally, and the authority of the Bible. For the next 5 weeks, we'll be focusing on the other five values of our church: leadership, social responsibility, prayer, the church, and strategic cooperation. Today, we'll focus on one of those values, the value of leadership. Our value statement on leadership says this: we purposely identify and train godly leaders for leadership positions at Fraserlands Church. We encourage, empower, and appreciate our leaders, elders, pastors, support staff, deacons, lay leaders, esteeming them highly in the Lord. But leadership, it's more than just a position. Leadership is more than just a title. It is a way of life. Paul says in the passage that we read earlier to watch your life and doctrine closely, to set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And so first, the role of the leader is to be an example in speech. Now here, we're not talking about being eloquent. We're not talking about being articulate. We're not talking about being well-versed or being a toastmaster. But rather, it's about being gracious and wise in what we say. Being gracious and wise in what we say as a follower of Christ. Paul says in Colossians 4:6, "Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." You see, what we say can be a good indicator of our inner character, of our spirituality. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." But you may say, it's okay to get angry, right? To blow off some steam? I need to express myself, my emotions, my feelings. I mean, even Jesus got angry. But James in his book urges us, let us be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I heard from Auntie Molly, I heard her say once, that in all the years that she's known Pastor Paul, he's never yelled at her. He's never raised his voice at her. And you know what? I actually believe that. I'm not married to Pastor Paul. But in the 30-odd years that I've known him, I've never heard him yell at anyone or raise his voice at anyone in anger. You know, there are times in which I've said things that I wish I could take back. But I can't. I can't take it back. Because once it's out there, it's hard to undo. So when I say this to myself as well. Parents, be careful what you say to your children. Husbands, watch how you speak to your wives. Bosses, be aware of your words to your employees. Teachers and leaders, watch your example. Proverbs chapter 12 says this: the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent and their lips promote instruction. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. The role of the leader is to be an example in our speech. Secondly, to be example in our conduct. Paul said to Timothy later on in the second book of Timothy, chapter 2, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. And then in chapter 3, he says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people, Paul says and instructs Timothy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how we act and how we live our lives is crucial to our witness as Christian leaders. For example, there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol every now and then. But the Bible is very clear on not becoming drunk, not becoming intoxicated. Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Dear men and women of God, both young and old, can I speak to you for a moment as a pastor, as your pastor? Please hear my heart on this. Don't be consumed with the things of this world, with drinking, with partying. I've been there before as a teenager. I've been there before as a young adult. I know the temptation to do so. I know the temptation to escape, to overindulge, to bow to peer pressure. Do not be consumed by this, but rather be consumed with the things of God, with doing the will of God in your lives. And He will build into you a depth of character that others can see. He'll fill you with His Spirit, and you'll begin to do marvelous and wonderful things in His name for His glory. This is my prayer for each and every one of us. As well, there's nothing wrong with making money, with working hard to get ahead. But we must do so with integrity and be above reproach in our business dealings with others. There's nothing wrong with having fun, with enjoying life. But we must first be lovers of God and not lovers of ourselves, not lovers of pleasure. There's nothing wrong with being good at what we do. But we must not become proud or boastful or conceited. As leaders, we must live lives that honor God with our lifestyle. The role of the leader is to be an example in our speech, to be an example in our conduct, to be an example in our love, in our love. You know, according to this post that I saw on Facebook not too long ago, leadership is not the same as lordship. Leadership is characterized by humility, not authority. We're to be servants, not bosses. slaves and not masters. With Jesus, it was never about the authority of a ruler leader, but about the humility of a servant leader. There's a big difference between the two. You know, bosses, they boss people around. They're high and mighty. Leaders come alongside of people, and they lead with them. John Stott said this. He said, the authority by which the Christian leader leads is not power, but love. Not force, but example. Not coercion, but reason, persuasion. Leaders have power, but power is safe only in the hands of those who humble themselves to serve in love. I want to just show you a ministry that our church has recently got involved with, which I believe is a great example of serving in love. Can we just show that video?
Good morning. Over the last few months, our family has done a lot with international students. We've had meals with them. We've gone out with them. We've showed them around town. We've worshiped together with them. And we're even friends on Facebook. And our family is really enjoying this connection with them. And right now, we, along with other Fraserlands people, are planning a Lunar New Year party for them that's going to happen at the end of the month. So I've been asked, why am I doing this? And my first answer to that response is, well, actually, I don't know. It's a nice thing to do. It's good to welcome people. But because I've been asked to come up here and speak to 200 people in public, I've given that question more thought. And I'm gonna start off with just a little story. So we often have international students come into our home, and I remember distinctly on two occasions from two different students that I got called Mom. Thanks, Mom. Bye, Mom. And so at first I was a little taken aback, and I thought, okay, this is very interesting. But then I could see that these students felt really welcomed in our home to the point where they considered themselves family. So I thought that was really, really nice. So last week, Pastor Abe talked about beloved. And when you know you are beloved by God, when you know you are dear to God, things begin to happen. You want to extend that love to other people, and that love is what you call God's love. So I feel that's what's happening here in my life. I feel that I am beloved by God. I know that I am in his family, and I just want to extend God's love to other people. And that's really how simple it is. So, but you know, it's not just me. I'm not the only person doing this. You saw all those Fraserlands people in the video. They were smiling. Well, they're smiling for the camera, yes, but I think mainly it's because that they too feel the same way about showing God's love. And that's my take.
Hi, everyone. So the person that just spoke, that was my mom, Wendy. So I'm the daughter. My name is Stephanie. So like my mom said, my mom and I have been serving in the International Student Ministry, but to me, it doesn't really feel like serving. I just kind of feel that we're just friends hanging out, and sometimes I show them a little bit around Vancouver and take them around and invite them over to our house. So to be honest, I first kind of began, like, got to know all these international students because originally I was learning Korean at the time, and I just kind of wanted to improve in the language. But naturally, through that, I ended up hanging out more and more with a lot of these international students. And actually, the way that I kind of became involved in this ministry was that my international friends started inviting me to their ministry. So they started inviting me to things like the Langara Focus Club, Mosaic House, and other things like that. So it was kind of the other way around. So they started inviting me to their ministry instead of me inviting them, usually, which kind of what happens in church, the people were inviting me. So I felt very touched. So when Pastor Abe asked me to share about how God's love has influenced me to do this ministry, I kind of didn't know what to say because I just felt that I was just being myself. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't really know about this ministry until later on. And all I was doing was just hanging out with my friends. But when I thought about it, I realized that God's love has been shown to me kind of during my whole entire life growing up in this church. You know, God has blessed me so much in my life and has placed a lot of people in my life. And a lot of these people are here in this church today. And I think naturally, as maybe become the person who I am today and make me want to spend time with new friends, invite these international students over to our house for dinner and for lunch, take them around to go see Vancouver, drive them around, and also pray and support them as well. So for me, kind of God's love didn't really make me feel obligated or kind of feel guilty to be part of this ministry, but just over time, I really feel God's love has just shaped me to be a person who just want to show love to others. So that's kind of my story. Thank you.
So I mentioned earlier that we're planning a Lunar New Year party for the international students, and that is happening on January the 29th, right after service. And I'm here to request your help with planning this celebration. So we actually already have a poster made up, okay? So this thing is actually happening. And so in your bulletin, there is an announcement about this celebration. It says, please come and celebrate with the international students. So I just want to clarify that. You actually, unless you're an international student, you actually will not be in the celebration, but you'll be helping to prepare for the celebration. So buying a ticket does not apply to you unless you are international students, but what we are looking for are people to set up, clean up, maybe make something for dessert, that sort of thing. So if you are interested, and give this a try, after service at the info counter, you can sign up on the volunteer sheet, and there's going to be someone there that will answer any questions that you might have. And we hope you come on board. It's a really great way to show God's love. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy and Stephanie. The reason I asked them to share is part of the message. It's because the two of them, to me, are examples of leaders who lead out of love. And as I look around this room even now, I know many of you do the same. You're leaders who lead, and your example of love is what makes your ministry impactful and used by the Lord. The role of the leader is to be an example in speech. The role of the leader is to be an example in conduct. The role of the leader is to be an example in love. Fourthly, the role of the leader is to be an example in faith. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Paul predicted, he predicted that some will fall away from the faith. They will deny the truth. That's why he says in verse 7, train yourself to be godly. And in verse 13, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. You see, a good conscience that is guided by faith allows someone to discern life's moral issues. But a seared conscience is left scarred and is not able to discern truth and error, and therefore is not capable of producing godly behavior in our lives. To be able to discern between truth and error, we must be solidly ground in the truth of God's word. Now, at this time, I really want to encourage you. I really want to encourage each and every one of you, if at all possible. You know, we've had a great 2 weeks of Sunday school the last two Sundays. You don't know what you're missing. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, you know, get up an hour and a half earlier. You get a better parking spot. Come and learn together as adults, as the body of Christ. You know, Peter Wang and Nick Kilpatrick are teaching that class entitled Strength for the Journey. I think it's a very appropriate thing as we begin our new year to find strength for our journey for this year. And you know what? I've been blessed going to it. I've been blessed. As leaders, we need to grow. We need to learn from God's word and to learn from one another as leaders. To learn from one another. I'm being blessed being taught by Peter the last couple of weeks. You know, as we all know, training takes discipline and purposeful action. We don't just wake up one day and we're trained. But those who routinely do it with determination, these are the people that benefit the most from it. We stretch, we run, because these exercises help us to get fit. And so in a similar way, studying the Bible, journaling, fasting, praying, fellowshipping one another, these help us to develop ourselves as leaders. Paul says to Timothy in verse 8 of chapter 4, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. You see, physical training is restricted to just the physical aspects of our lives. But godliness affects every aspect of our lives. It will affect our parenting. It will affect our business transactions. It will affect our marriage. It will affect our civic responsibilities. It will affect our relationship with our neighbors, our family, our friends, and our coworkers. You know, as leaders, it's great to stay in shape physically. But far more important, Paul says, far more important is to exercise towards spiritual maturity, to exercise the gifts that the Lord has given to each and every one of us. Paul says to Timothy in verse 14 of the same passage, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." Although Paul is speaking to Timothy here, it's also true for each and every one of us who lead. Do not neglect your gift, brothers and sisters at Fraser Lands Church. Paul said in Romans 12, 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The role of the leader is to be an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and lastly for today, to be an example in purity. An example in purity. You see, sexual purity is an indication of our spiritual consecration to God. And when we fall in this area, it destroys our credibility. It destroys our influence in the lives of others. So watch out and guard yourselves against these. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Someone once said this, "Unholiness in a leader's life will either stop his mouth from reproving, that is, correcting others, or people's ears from receiving." Now, being a leader is a noble task. It's a respectable position that requires godliness of character. Paul calls us to live exemplary lives, so that it will not discredit us, so that it will not discredit our ministry as leaders. You know, how many people have had their ministries and leadership destroyed because of indiscretion, because of ungodly character? And allow me to speak candidly to you once again. And we live in an age of technology, which is a good thing. But that same technology allows us to have access to many things on the web. Access to things and websites that are not good for the development of godly character. I'm referring to pornography and other sexual temptations. Some of you are addicted to pornography. Others of you are playing with fire as you put yourself in situations where you can easily succumb to the temptation. Don't think you're immune to it either. If church leaders can fall, if pastors can fall, you can fall. We can fall. I can fall. I know of pastors whose ministries have been destroyed because of inappropriate relationships with others, with church staff. Destroyed. Men and women, if you're single, be careful not to go to places or be in rooms with another person of the opposite sex without any accountability. Don't go on holidays with another person of the opposite sex and stay in the same hotel room. You're putting yourself in situations where we just do not have the resistance to control. Psalm 119 says this, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Paul calls each and every one of us as leaders to be an example in our purity. To be an example in our purity. As a result of our leaders living exemplary lives, as they become an example to others in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity, we as the church, we as the body of Christ also have a role to play in this as well. You see, the role of the church, the role of the church, according to our vision statement on leadership, which we read earlier, and which is also on the top of your sermon notes, the role of the church is to encourage the weary, to encourage those who've been serving faithfully all this time, and we're tired. Our role is to encourage our leaders. Secondly, our role is to empower other people, to empower new leaders, to empower a new generation of leaders. We can't do it for the next 30, 40 years. Now, Jansen is getting old. Nicholas is really old. We need to empower a generation of new leaders, not to keep the ministry to ourselves, but to empower others to serve. And thirdly, the role of the church, the role of each and every one of us, is to esteem, to not put others in any way, please don't misunderstand me, to not put others in any way on a pedestal, but to respect them, to honor them, and to appreciate them. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And Paul says also to Timothy in chapter 5, verse 17, the elders, when the Bible talks about elders, it talks about leaders, it talks about deacons, elders and pastors. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. You know, one group who does this very well, there's one group in our church that does this very well and does it consistently, and that's our PHP, People Helping People Ministry. Each year, they invite the pastors and elders and their family to come to our appreciation meal. And if I recall correctly, Pauline, it's next Sunday, right? Yeah, next Sunday. I look forward to that so much. Thank you for esteeming our leaders, our pastors, our elders, and for including their families as well. Paul says, as he ends off this passage in chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, be diligent in these matters. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Talking about both the role of the leader and the role of the church. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Our ability to lead and influence others is directly related to our ability to manage and to live our lives well. How we live our lives, that is our conduct, and what we believe, our doctrine, affects our effectiveness in leading others. Paul urges us to persevere in these things, to give ourselves wholly to them, and to continue to do them day after day after day after day. Others are watching. And so we must be very careful. It's important what we believe. It's also important how we live as well. I want to finish off by reading to you just a portion, the first three verses of Hebrews 12. And maybe the worship team can come up at this time, or my worship team that I selected for this song can come up at this time. Our young worship team, although they've been great in serving us, they don't know the song we're going to sing as a song response. And you know what? It's an old song. It's an old song. But like they say, it's an oldie but a goodie. The words are great. They're biblical. I hope you'll carry this tune around with you all day, all week. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3 says this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us... I just lost my notes. Sorry. Someone blanked out the screen. Can you put it back to the back, please? If you can't, I'll just read from my Bible. You know what? I'll just read from my notes. It's okay. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray for us that we will encourage one another. We will empower one another. That we will esteem one another as we run this race together. So Stephen, why don't you lead us in this song? Let's sing, let's stand, let's worship, let's take in the words of Hebrews, and may these words ring true for you as well as you sing them.